Today in the show, we have a Swift CBDC, 1 billion US treasuries tokenized, a decentralized AI alliance, and much more. I'm your host, Mauricio Magaldi, and this is Block Drops, your weekly digest on blockchain for business. These news are not a form of endorsement, sponsorship, or encouragement for consumption, and are meant for educational purposes only. In the first drop today, we will go back to talk about CBDCs, the central bank digital currencies. This note is from Swift, the TradFi messaging platform that most countries and central banks and commercial banks use for exchanging of messages for cross-border payments and remittances, has announced that they have a plan for a new platform to connect central bank digital currencies across the world. This is probably one of the largest CBDC projects that we're probably going to see, given Swift's role in the global economy, the amount of money they help move across the world, and obviously with 90% of all of the central banks in the world exploring some form of digital money, they come as a very central, and I use the word central very deliberately, central to this new format of money. Nick Carrigan, the head of innovation at Swift, said that the project's been running for 6 months, involved 38 member groups between central banks, commercial banks, and other settlement platforms. And it's been one of the largest collaborations around CBDCs and other tokenized assets in recent history, and I wouldn't doubt that. The goal is to ensure that every country has their own central bank architecture, and they can all interact and interoperate through Swift's CBDC integration protocol, or however they're going to call this. It's proving that banks can have their own infrastructure, interact with Swift's infrastructure, and make sure that the effects and the clearing and the settlement happens. According to Kerrigan, I quote, "We are looking at a roadmap to productize in the next 12 to 24 months. It's moving out of experimental stage towards something that is becoming a reality," end quote. We've commented here in the show before that Bahamas, Nigeria, Jamaica, have their own CBDCs running. China's been doing the e-renminbi and e-yuan for quite some time. The Bank of England and the European Central Bank are both working on the digital version of their money. Brazil's Drex is one of the most advanced pilots in the whole world. And Hong Kong has taken the same approach as Brazil. So we've been seeing this. And obviously Swift has a massive advantage in the way they play, because they are central to traditional finance with the messaging that they perform, and obviously working on this new architecture and interoperating all of the countries come as a very obvious strategic step to remain relevant. Obviously, again, we're talking about Germany, France, Australia, Singapore, Thailand, participating, big names like HSBC, Citibank, Deutsche Bank, Societe Generale, Standard Charter, participating in pilots like this. It's no surprise that this is happening, because these are all heavy hitters all around the world. Of note, I think what we're seeing here has nothing to do with retail CBDCs, because these are all commercial banks and central banks interoperating globally. So for now, at least, it seems that there is no reference in any of the articles that I've read about Swift playing in the realm of retail CBDCs or the central banks being involved in triggering anything in terms of retail CBDCs, which is itself a relief, and it's one of the architectures that we like the least. So hopefully this is wholesale CBDCs between banks, between central banks, and let them handle whatever it is that they need to handle in terms of privacy and data protection. So let's hope that this is something that can actually respect those very important rights. But it is a project that we need to be very aware of, because it will have global repercussions. So let's wait and see where this is going to lead. So if you have CBDCs on one hand, you have to have tokenized assets on the other, so you can actually have on-chain self-liquidating assets and atomic settlement and liquidity. A very interesting milestone marked this week, according to 21 co-analyst Tom Wan. The total amount of U.S. treasuries that have been tokenized so far exceeds $1 billion. This is one of those milestones that we've heard a few times from multiple reports in the recent years. So apparently it is tracking against those predictions. According to the report, Ethereum, Polygon, Avalanche, and Stellar are the top chains where these assets have been tokenized. And being a digital representation of US government bonds, they're traded on the blockchain and they have immediate liquidity. According to the report, since January of 23, the total amount of US tokenized US treasury has risen tenfold. It's 10 times the amount in one year and change. And since BlackRock announced Build, their Ethereum-based tokenized fund of US treasuries back in March 20, that amount bumped 18%. So yeah, this is how much US treasuries, tokenized US treasuries mean to the ecosystem. According to the report, that the Build fund from BlackRock has tokenized 245 million in US treasuries, tracking Franklin Templeton's FOBXX, which has tokenized 360.2 million in US treasuries. So these are very, very big numbers. What is interesting from this analysis is that Ondo Finance, one of the tokenization protocols who are working with some of the largest tokenization projects for US treasuries, is the largest holder of Build, holding 38% of its total supply. And that also means that Ondo's US stablecoin called OUSG is now fully backed by Build. Now, this is interesting because this means that a stablecoin is now pegged to the US dollar through a tokenized fund that's tokenized US treasuries. That's very interesting. Means that we have a real-world assets on US treasuries that have been tokenized by BlackRock, issued as tokens on the blockchain. Ondo has 38% of that supply and has issued the equivalent of their own stable coins pegged to that token. That is a lot of token involved, but it's very interesting. That means that now you have a utility that is bringing real-world assets on-chain and then allowing stable coins to be minted with a US dollar peg to be used in DeFi. So yeah, this is really, really cool. And probably my favorite bit of all of this, which means that you can now have real world assets impacting even more the world of DeFi. And I'm just waiting to see how much this is going to evolve. So back to the CBDCs. It is to be expected that at some point, investors will be able to, with their CBDCs or their tokenized deposits, will either buy these tokenized RWAs, or they will exchange those with stablecoins that have been issued by DeFi protocols that are pegged to those RWAs. And we're going to see a flurry of financial innovation because all of these assets will be programmable, all of these assets will be composable, and it's going to be very interesting to see what financial innovation will flourish from all of this new enablement from RWA and DeFi. In the third drop today, we're going to touch in one subject that we haven't explored too much on the show yet, which is the intersection between AI and blockchain or AI and crypto. We're going to talk a little bit about that scenario. So right now, there are projects that are offering AI infrastructure that can be consumed by acquiring the protocol token, and you can also be rewarded by the protocol with those tokens. So three projects have come together to found what they're calling the Alliance for Decentralized Artificial Intelligence. Fetch AI, Singularity Net, and the Ocean Protocol are going to merge their tokens to create that alliance. It's a AI collective that aims to provide decentralized alternative to the existing projects that are controlled by big tech. So think about ChatGPT, think about whatever Google's AI name is this week. So all of those large scale centralized big tech projects will now have to see some decentralized version that emerging from crypto. And the interesting thing here is that they're combining all of that into the tokens that they have are now going to turn into a single token, and the economics are going to run around that one new token. So FET, which is the token from Fetch, will become ASI, short for Artificial Superintelligence, with a total supply of 2.63 billion tokens, starting price 2.82. Then the tokens of Singularity Net, the ticker is AGIX, and Ocean Protocol, the ticker is Ocean, will merge into that token. Probably the holders are going to receive the ASI equivalent, and then they have to burn the AGIX and the Ocean equivalents at a conversion rate of 4.433 to 1. And the total ASI fully diluted market cap is going to run around 7.5 billion, which is an amazing number. It's really weird. And that is going to become the this new alliance token. Very, very modest artificial superintelligence name is really caught my eye here. But what I think is most interesting is that they're using their tokens to merge the functionality. We've seen this in crypto before when Rari and Fei merged to DeFi protocols. They merged through the use of tokens. At that point, there was a vote in all of the governance of those projects, and they had a function called a rage quit. So if you're dissatisfied with the decision, you could just sell your token and you click a button and you sell all your tokens from whichever protocol and you rage quit. You get the corresponding amount in stablecoins. I'm not sure how this is going to play out in this case, but it seems very straightforward that they're going to do one-to-one between FET and ASI, and they're going to do 0.433 to 1 for the other two tokens, and that's probably, that's probably the easiest way to do it. But I'm hoping that this is not just another one-off, that this is starting to become a trend, because if there are, and I hate this word, synergies between all of these protocols and all of these infrastructures, that they can combine, they can be composable because they're running in the decentralized infrastructure, that they can do that with their tokens. So first is they're doing the merge with their tokens, and then they're combining their functionality in a decentralized manner, meaning that with the decentralized artificial intelligence, you can have composable AI, which is probably more powerful than what any of the centralized sourced projects can do. So I have very high hopes that this is going to start a new trend in the AI space, and obviously that this is going to be somewhat sustainable, so we can have more of the decentralized AI, and then we can start to monetize on-chain and off-chain data and get more traceability for the corpus and all the good stuff that comes by having data on-chain. In a week packed full of news, here is more. And we start with a correction. I mentioned last week that the new AML regulation for the European Union would prevent self-custodial wallets from performing anonymous transactions. Patrick Hansen, the head of EU policy for Circle, wrote a thread on it. You can check on the description on the notes of the show. And this was forwarded to me by Susana Maranhão. And what Patrick says is that this new regulation will actually make it explicit that the CASPs, the crypto asset service providers, will have to prevent anonymous transactions on the wallets that they have custodies for. So that doesn't mean that self-custodial wallets are implicated on that. And all of the other regulations like MiCA and previous AML regulations and all of the other obligated entity regulations are all the same. They all applied. It doesn't mean that self-custodial wallets are going to be subject to that, but that the obligated entities will. So thank you for that. Bitcoin and another five EVM chains are now available for search on Google search. Yes, you can just type the address of the wallet and they'll tell you everything they have on the wallet. I'm not sure if this is the best thing that's ever happened or the worst thing that's ever happened, but you can check that on Google search. Algorand becomes the first layer one blockchain to use Python as its smart contract language in an attempt to bring more engineers into the ecosystem. Ethereum Hill has opened their call for speakers, so if you have anything to say about your project, Ethereum Rio might be just the place for you. And the Brazilian SEC, the CVM, has approved the B3 stock exchange to offer Bitcoin futures. Yes, it seems that even in Brazil, institutionals are here to stay. Catch us online. We're on Instagram at BlockDrops Podcast, on Twitter at BlockDrops Pod or Xerox Mauricio. We're on Lens at BlockDrops.Lens. We have a newsletter on LinkedIn. Write to us at BlockDropsPodcast@gmail.com. And you can listen to the BlockDrops Podcast at Spotify, iColab, Fabriboon Tech, and all of the other major streaming platforms. Shoutouts today to the people who provide the links you will find in the episode notes. Patrick Hansen, Susana Maranhão, Brian De Souza, Aline Fernandes, Carlos Arena, Eugênio Regianini, Antonio Neto, Cássio Gusson, and Tatiana Evoredo. Don't forget to leave the rating on your favorite player. This is all for today. Stay rare, stay weird. LFG.